etiquettes of life. So we will read some portion of it before we commence our discourse, inshallah. The adab of listening to a talk. First point, listen attentively. If any part of the talk is not clear or doubt lingers, seek its clarification from the speaker immediately. Don't act on what has been said on the basis of your opinion. Second, when someone calls you, reply immediately so that the caller knows that you have heard him. Third, when someone speaks to you, do not listen with indifference. When someone speaks to you, do not listen with indifference. This attitude would hurt feelings. This applies to a great extent when someone speaks for your benefit or answers your question. Four, when someone assigns a task to you, express your intention verbally. Say yes or no, etc. Perhaps you have no intention of doing the work, and by your silence, the speaker gains the impression that you have agreed to undertake the task. Five, when someone speaks ill of your ustad, then remain silent. If it becomes unbearable, leave the place. Six, when your ustad speaks, apply your whole attention to him. Seven, after having attentively listened to your ustad's discourse, if you do not understand anything, do not attribute it to your ustad. On the contrary, regard your inability as a result of your defective understanding and inattentiveness. Eight, it is not permissible to listen to music and singing. The heart is corrupted thereby. Evil dominates the nafs. Music gives impetus to the evil qualities of the lowly nafs. The inclination to commit wrong is thus stirred in a person. Whatever leads to haram is likewise haram. Avoid listening to the voice of females and young boys. A woman should exercise caution in this regard. She should ensure that her voice does not reach the ears of ghair mahrams. 10. Do not get up and leave while someone is addressing you. This will hurt the feelings of the speaker and will exhibit your unappreciativeness of the talk. This obviously applies when there's nothing against the Sharia or something un-Islamic is not taking place. 11. When listening to a lecture, do not engage in any other conversation. Pay attention to the discourse. It is disrespectful to engage in a conversation at such a time, and it displays lack of appreciation of the discourse. When someone called you from behind a partition, reply immediately to put the caller at ease. Do not remain silent, for the caller will persist in calling. When someone assigned a duty to you, listen to it well, and after having executed it, notify him of its accomplishment. This will avoid suspense and anticipation. If you have not understood, say so. Do not pretend that you have understood. Do not say, yes, yes, I understood, whereas you haven't understood anything. On announcing yourself, example, by having made salam, if the inmates of the house have not recognized you and they ask, who is it? Do not say, it's me. Say your name. 16. It is highly disrespectful to remain silent after having heard the question. Similarly, it is disrespectful and cause for much annoyance to reply after some delay. May Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat to practice on these adabs and these etiquettes. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا قيل لهم آمنوا كما آمن الناس قالوا أنؤمن كما آمن السفهاء ألا إنهم هم الصفهاء ولكن لا يعلمون قال الله تبارك وتعالى محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا علمنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا الدعاء اللهم إني أسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربني إلى حبك صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected and beloved mu'takifin, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, we are very, very fortunate to be invited in the house of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We should always remind ourselves of this great bounty and ni'mat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah chose us from the thousands of people outside, invited us in his house, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made us his guest. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is our host, and we are the guests of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The greater the host, the greater the honor of such guests. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the greatest host, and we are the most fortunate to be the guest of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Such a host at times would ensure that all the needs of the guests are fulfilled. We in the state of i'tikaf, we in the masjid, we are the guests of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah is our host, and our greatest need, our greatest desire for coming in the masjid, being the guests of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, is to request Allah ta'ala only one thing. We only have one request, only one desire from Allah ta'ala. Oh Allah, we want you from you. Allah, we don't want anything else. All we want, Allah, we want you. We want your pleasure. We want your rida. We want your muhabbat. If we got you, we got everything else. If we got everything else, but we don't have you, we've got nothing. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh gave a beautiful example. There was a king that had four wives. The king loved the fourth wife more than the other wives. But they were jealous on the fourth wife. So one day the king decided to demonstrate to the other wives why he loved the fourth wife more than the other wives. He filled his entertainment room in the palace with various type of gifts. He told each one of his wives, go pick the gift of your choice. Whatever you want, take it. One can imagine the gifts that are placed there by the king. They are of great value. The wife is surprised. The first wife went, she took the gift of her choice. The king asked, are you happy? She said, I'm very happy. No restriction upon me, I could take whatever I want. The second wife, she went, She picked the choice of the gift of her choice. The third wife also did the same. The fourth wife, who the king loved the most, she came up to the king and she told the king, "You sure that I can take a gift of my choice?" "Definitely, why not? All the other three wives took the gifts of their choice. You also have that right." She took her hand, she placed it on the king's head, and she told the king, "I want you. I don't want those gifts. If I've got you, I've got everything else. If I've got the gifts, but I don't have you, I've got nothing." Jalaluddin Rumi Muhammad Rahmatullah gives this beautiful example, and he says that when we got Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala on our side, we got everything else. Allah is the owner of the kingdom. But if we got everything else, we don't have Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we have nothing with us. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. Oh Allah, we ask of you your love. When we got the love of Allah, we got everything else. The hadith goes beyond that. Not only love from Allah, anything that will be the means of the love for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we want that as well. وَحُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكَ. Allah, we want the love of those people that love you. How those people love you, we would love them so that through their love we could also love you. Anything that will cause us to reach you, we want that. And the third part of the dua, وَحُبَّ عَمَلٍ يُقَرِّبُنِي إِلَىٰ حُبِّكَ. Allah, we ask of you those a'mal, those actions that will get us closer to your love. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaaka wal jannah. Allah, we ask of you your rida, your pleasure, your happiness. And with that, we want jannah, we want paradise. Make dua, Allah grant us his muhabbat. Allah grant us his rida. When we've got that, we are on the path of success. We are on the path to the closest of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One very effective way of attaining the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pleasure of Allah, the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to follow the path of the Sahaba. The lifestyle of the Sahaba, the aqidah, the belief of the Sahaba, the thinking of the Sahaba, the philosophy, the ideology of the Sahaba, to follow the path of the Sahaba. That is a very important aspect, and through that we will gain the love of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is a Sahabi? The Muhaddithin, they define the Sahabi as Man ra'a an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mu'minan wa mata ala al-islam. Three conditions for a person to become a Sahabi. First, that person who has seen Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person did not see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if that eyes did not fall on the Mubarak blessed personality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you cannot become a Sahabi. Second, in the state of Iman. Otherwise, Abu Jahl also saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Munafiqin also saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not in the state of Iman. So you got to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, second in the state of Iman, and third, wa mata ala al-Islam. And after having seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman, you die in the state of Iman. Three conditions for a person to become a Sahabi. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made the Sahaba a criterion, a measure for our Iman. If we want to measure our aqidah, we want to measure our actions, we need to look in the life of the Sahaba, whether their aqidah was in line with our aqidah. If their action, their thinking is in line, if our action is in line with their thinking and with their practice, then we are on the correct path. And if our aqidah is different from the aqidah of the Sahaba, if our practice is different from the practice of the Sahaba, then unfortunately we will risk deviation from the correct path. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. Allah tells us that when the kuffar were told, bring iman like how the people have brought iman. The people referred to in this ayah refers to a sahaba. Allah himself is saying, bring iman like how the sahaba brought iman. The kuffar responded, أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. Should we bring iman like how the stupid people brought iman? The kuffar regarded the sahaba of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be stupid people. Almighty Allah immediately came to the defense of the sahaba. And Allah told, Allah, إِنَّهُمْ مُوسُفَا. Behold, those people that say my sahaba, the sahaba of my beloved Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is stupid, they themselves are stupid. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But they do not know. In one ayat of the Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala describes the sahaba. What a beautiful ayat. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Those people that are with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, referring to a sahaba. Look at the qualities. أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. They are appropriately, my words, appropriately hard on the kuffar. Not inappropriately. Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they were appropriately hard on the kuffar. Ruhamau bainahum. And among the believers, they showed love and compassion. They were soft to each other. Tarahum rukka'an sujjada. One outstanding quality of the sahaba is, you would see them, they understood the objective of life. They knew what Allah Ta'ala has created them for. Allah created them to make ibadat. You would see them all the time, in the spare moment, either making ruku or making sajda. This was the life of the sahaba, engaging in the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Wherever they get the opportunity, they're making wudu. Wherever they're making opportunity, they're making ruku, they're making sajda. And the purpose is, yabtahuna fadlan min Allahi wa ridwana. They're seeking the grace of Allah, and they're seeking the ridwan and the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, Akrimu ashabi. Honor my sahaba. Respect them. Fa'innahum khiyarukum. They're the best among you. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions, Man kana mustannan, falyastanna biman qad mat. Fa'innal hayna tu'man alayhi alfitna. Ulaika ashabu Muhammad. فَإِنَّهُمْ أَبَرُّ قُلُوبًا وَعَمَقُهَا عِلْمًا وَأَكَلُّهَا تَكَلُّفًا اخْتَارَهُمُ اللَّهُ لِصُحْبَةِ النَّبِيِّ وَالْإِقَامَةِ دِينِهِ فَأَعْرِفُوا لَهُمْ فَضْلَهُمْ وَتَمَسَّكُوا بِمَا اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ أَخْلَاقِهِمْ وَسِيَرِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَى هُدًى مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says that if you need to make anybody a role model, you need to follow the path of anyone, follow the path of those people that have passed away, referring to a sahaba. Those people that are alive, they're not free from fitna. Every one of us are included in that. We don't know what befalls ahead of us in life. And then he says, that speaks about the quality of the sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were people who had a very virtuous heart. Least amount of pretense. They were deep in their knowledge. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala have chosen them to be the companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah chose them. Allah chose the Sahaba to be the companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to establish the deen of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, recognize the value of the Sahaba. Understand them. And follow the way of the Sahaba to the best of your ability, for they were on the correct path. Allah grant us tawfiq. Allah granted the ability to understand the high, lofty maqam and the position of the sahaba. Today, I want to give a brief biography of a great, illustrious sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a resident of Madinatul Munawwara. He was from the tribe of Khazraj. In Madina Munawwara, among the Ansar, there were two tribes, the Aus and the Khazraj. They were actually residents of Yemen. When there was an outbreak of a flood in Yemen, the people left Yemen. They could not stay there anymore. Allah refers to it in the Quran Kareem. And many of them came and resided in Madinatul Munawwara. So the tribe of Aus and Khazraj were actually Yemeni people. Hazrat Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his forefathers were from Yemen. He was a friend and sahib of Khazraj. His father is a Yemeni. His mother is also a Yemeni. Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the books of hadith have been described with these words, Kana rajulan tawilan, jaseeman, jameelan, kaseeru shi'ar. He was a very tall person, big built, good looking, but a very hairy person. And he's been described as a person that if anybody would look at him at first sight, they would become very confounded when they would look at Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkatul Mukarrama, during the season of Hajj, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to Mina and invite the people to the oneness of Allah, invite them to Islam. On three occasions, there were delegations from Madinatul Munawwara that came to Mina, valleys of Mina, to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third delegation that came, where there were 72 people, Ubad ibn Samit was also part of that. He was part of all three delegations, and in the third one he was also there. And it was on that occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that appoint 12 people who would represent the various tribes of Madinatul Munawwara to fulfill the undertaking that you had given me to come over to Madinatul Munawwara. Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of those representatives. In Islam, those sahaba that took part in that bay'at, in that allegiance of Aqaba in the valley of Medina, they have a special place in Islam. And therefore, Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala holds a very prestigious position in Islam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina to Munawwara. Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala took part in the Battle of Badr. On all the Badrin sahaba, the hadith is in Bukhari, Kitabul Maghazi, in the second volume, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned about the Badrin sahaba that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentioned about them that اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ قَدْ وَجَبَتْ لَكُمْ الْجَنَّةِ. All the Badrin sahaba, it was a time of sacrifice. They gave everything of theirs. Allah told them, go do what you have to do after. What after this, whatever you have to do, Jannat is definitely wajib upon you. Ubad ibn Samit was a sahabi that took part in all the battles in Uhud and right until the conquest of Makkatul Mukarramah. And he was known to be all the time on the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, helping and supporting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu received a request from Sham to send people to teach the people of Sham the Quran Kareem. This is a request at the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a sahabi from among those five sahaba who had memorized the Quran in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and even compiled the Quran, own copy of the Quran Kareem. Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala had his own copy. Entire copy, written copy of his personal copy. Umar radiallahu ta'ala gathered five sahaba. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ubay ibn Ka'b, Abu Darda, Mu'ad ibn Jabal, and Ubad ibn Samit. These are the five people. He gathered them and told them a request from Sham, from Syria, the Sham of that time, which was more broader than what it is known as today. There's a request to teach the Quran to the people of Sham. Who volunteers to go? Who would want to go? From the five, Abu Ayyub Ansari was already aged. They told him he cannot go because he's of age. Ubay ibn Ka'b, was a sickly person. He was not in a position to go. The remaining three had to be gone. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala was sent to Palestine. Abu Darda was sent to Damascus. And Ubad ibn Samit was sent
to Hims, which is called today Homs. He was sent there as the ustad, as the teacher of the Quran Karim. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala was known to be a very vocal person, outspoken. And the reason for that is, he took bay'at allegiance on the hand of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from among other things for two things. قُلِ الْحَقِّ وَإِن كَانَ مُرَّةً. Speak the truth, speak the haqq, even though it may be bitter. Second, لَا تَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. That in speaking of the truth, never fear anybody's reproach. Say the truth as is. That was Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala. When he went to Sham, he had some disagreement with Hadhrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He returned, came from Madinah Munawwara. Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him, Ubadah, what are you doing here in Madinah? You're supposed to be in Sham. You know, he explained the incident, the disagreement he had with Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala made a statement about Ubadah ibn Samit. قَبَّحَ اللَّهُ أَرْضًا لَيْسَ فِيهَا عُبَادَ ابْنَ سَامِتُ وَأَبْثَالُهُ. Made that land in which Ubadah ibn Samit and the likes of Ubadah ibn Samit are not there, made such a land become ugly. Disaster, destruction for such a land in which the likes of Ubadah ibn Samit are not there. This is Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he sent Hadrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Egypt, to conquer Egypt. So Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala started off from all the rural areas around Egypt. He started conquering villages until he came to a town, right until when he came to Babylon, which is known today as the Coptic Cairo. He came right until that point. The ruler of that time was Muqawqis. The ruler of the Egyptian people was Muqawqis. Because Coptic Cairo is surrounded by the Nile, and Muqawqis feared that these people will come over and they'll cross the Nile, they'll come onto our side, and they will conquer us. So they broke off, they discommunicated everything, removed all the bridges from in between, and Hadhrat Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his companions, they were stuck right in the center of that Coptic Cairo or that Babylon. So Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala sent a message to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that we are stranded here. The Roman Empire, at that time, Muqawqis was under Roman Empire. They sent a huge army to help and assist Muqawqis. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they sent a reinforcement of 4,000 people. And every 1,000, he made one person a leader. And then he told Amr ibn al-As, I'm sending 4,000 such people, that every 1,000 there is one person in charge, but that one person is equivalent to 1,000 people himself. And among them is Ubadah ibn Samit. When Muqawqis heard there's a reinforcement have come in, and these people are foreigners, they are in our land, what have they come here to do? What is the purpose? What is the objective? So Muqawqis sent a delegation, a group of people to go and observe who these foreigners are. What do they do? What is their practice? What is their lifestyle? The people came, they stayed with the Muslims for 3 days, with the Sahaba for 3 days, and then they went back and they gave this note to Muqawqis. They told to Muqawqis, لَقَدْ رَأَيْنَا وَاللَّهُ قَوْمًا الْمَوْتُ أَشْحَى إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ. O Muqawqis, O King, Wallah, we take an oath in the name of Allah. We have come across such a nation, that death is more desirable to them than life. Sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second quality mentioned about the Sahaba, وَالتَّوَازُعُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ الرِّفْعَةِ. Humbleness, humility, not thinking high about themselves, That is more beloved to them than them feeling superior about themselves. Outstanding quality of the Sahaba, that humility and that humbleness. Third quality, جُلُوسُهُمْ عَلَى التُّرَابِ وَأَكْلُهُمْ عَلَى الرُّكَبِ. They're so simple people that they sit on the ground. Unlike we sit on table and chairs, they sit on the ground. And when they eat, they show humility. They actually sit on their knees and they eat. Fourth quality, أَمِيرُهُمْ كَوَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. The Amir, the leader, has no superior position. He is one among them. فَمَا يُعْرَفْ سَيِّدُهُمْ مِنْ مَسُودِهِمْ. If you come in the gathering where the leader is with the subjects, with the followers, you will never be able to make out who is the leader and who is from not the leader. You will not be able to make out who the rich is from the poor. إِذَا أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ لَمْ يَتَخَلَّفْ عَنْهَا أَحَدٌ. We notice these Muslims, when the time comes for salah, and the azan is called out for salah, not a single person remains behind. Everyone proceeds to perform the salah. يَخْسِلُونَ أَطْرَافَهُمْ وَوُجُوهَهُمْ بِالْمَاءِ. Before performing the salah, they wash their faces, they wash their limbs with water. And وَيَخْشَوْنَ لِرَبِّهِمْ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. We saw them in the time of praying, that they fear the Lord to a great extent when they perform their salah. So, Muqawqis, the Egyptian king, when he heard this, he then commented and he said, لَوْ أَنَّ هَاُولَىٰ إِسْتَقْبَلُوا الْجِبَالِ لَأَزَالُوهَا. These people are such, if these are the quality they are talking about, that leave aside us confronting them, if they have been confronted by a huge, powerful, gigantic mountain, they will remove mountains from the way. And that was the life of the Sahaba. After Muqawqis requested that one person from there, from among the Sahaba, should come and talk to him. He wanted to talk to him personally, find out, assess the situation from himself. So it was decided, Ubad ibn Samit should go. As I mentioned, Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala described as a person that is tall, big built, and very hairy. At first sight, anybody looks at him would feel confounded. And that's what exactly happened to Muqawqis. Ubad ibn Samit went to the palace of Muqawqis, and when Muqawqis saw Ubad ibn Samit, then he got afraid. He actually requested, can somebody else talk to me? So the delegates, Sahaba that were there, they said, no, he's our Amir, he's our leader. He is going to talk to you, nobody else. Muqawqis, Ubad ibn Samit goes to Muqawqis, and he tells to him, when Ubad ibn Samit noticed some fear on the face of Muqawqis, so he told him upfront, Araka khiftani. I see you are afraid of me. فَكَيْفَ لَوْ رَأَيْتَ أَصْحَابِي. You are afraid of me. Behind me I got thousands of them. What if you would see my companions and my colleagues? That probably must have put more fear in Muqawqis. And then Muqawqis asked Ubad ibn Samit one question. مَنْ لَذِي أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. What made you come out from your people's land? You all are living there. You all got your own place of residence. Why do you need to come out from there and come to our land? What took you out from your land and brought you to our land? Ubad ibn Samit gave a reply. Say, Amma wallah. مَا خَرَجْنَا إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. By Allah, we came out from our land, came to your land, we only came here to seek the pleasure and the ridwan of Allah. And then he says, قَدْ عَهِدَ إِلَيْنَا نَبِيُّنَا أَلَّا تَكُونَ بُغْيَةُ أَحَدِنَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا يَسُدُّ جُوعَتَهُ وَتَسْتُرْ عَوْرَتَهُ. Our Habib, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given, taken an undertaking from us. He has taken an undertaking from us that you should only use that amount of the dunya, of the world, that can fulfill the needs of your stomach and cover your private parts. We've got nothing to do with this dunya. We've got nothing to do with materialism. And then he explained the reason for that. لِأَنَّ نَعِيمَ الدُّنْيَا لَيْسَ بِنَعِيمٍ. إِنَّمَا النَّعِيمُ نَعِيمُ الْآخِرَةِ. He says that ni'mat's bounties of this dunya is really not any ni'mat and bounties. Real bounties are the bounties of the akhirah. This is what
Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala replied to Muqawqis, respected elders, friends, beloved Mu'takifin, I want to narrate to you three hadiths narrated by Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala, this great illustrious sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala narrates a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same sahabi who I spoke about, his hadith, narrated by him. Ubadah ibn Samit says, on one occasion, we were seated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were a group of sahaba, wa hawlahu isabatum min as-sahaba. And there were a group of sahaba around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to a sahaba, bayi'uni. Ala Allah tushriku billahi shay'a. وَلَا تَسْرِقُوا وَلَا تَزْنُوا وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ وَلَا تَأْتُوا بِبُهْتَانٍ تَفْتَرُونَهُ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَرْجُلِكُمْ وَلَا تَعْصُوا فِي مَعْرُوفٍ. Five things. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, take bay'at, allegiance. Give me an undertaking of five things. First, you would never make shirk, make partners with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala of anything. Allah is one and alone. Tawheed, oneness, is the fundamental pillar of Islam. That is something that we never ever compromise on. If we have to compromise on anything, not Tawheed, not Iman. We live with that, we die with that. Second, you would never steal. La tasriqu, never steal. Third, la taznu, never commit zina. Whether married or unmarried person, you would never ever commit zina. Fourth, لا تقتلوا أولادكم تفترونه بين أيديكم وأرجلكم. And لا تقتلوا أولادكم, you would not kill your children. This was the practice that used to take place in the pre-Islamic era, and the practice of infanticide was a very, very common practice. Never ever do that. And لا تأتوا ببهتان تفترونه بين أيديكم وأرجلكم. You would not make false accusations against people. Simplified translation, not make false accusations against people. And last, when you are ordered to do any good, when you're ordered to do any good, anything that is ma'ruf, anything that is principle, you would not disobey, you will not go against it, you will not disobey in that. These are the five things Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the sahaba, take bay'at on my hands and give me an undertaking that you will practice on these things. I want to focus on this one word, bay'at. Many people have a misunderstanding about bay'at. They think it's an innovation of people that in the, field, the spiritual field, mashayikh, pious elders, people take bay'at, somebody becomes a murid of someone. People regard it to be an innovation. It's not an innovation. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took bay'at for the sahaba, sometimes on iman, sometimes on jihad, and sometimes Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take bay'at on things that a Muslim is normally required to do. Look at these five things that have been mentioned in the hadith. Once you become a Muslim, you know you're not supposed to steal, you're not supposed to commit zina, you're not supposed to make false accusations against people. Despite that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the sahaba, take bay'at. This was to teach us a lesson. That sometimes in the field of reformation, you need the help and assistance of certain people to help you, assist you to reform yourself, to correct yourself, stay away from the wrong things. And this is where Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. That all you who believe, fear Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and be with the sadiqeen. Be with the truthful people. You stay in the company of pious people, you'll become pious. Allama Alusi rahmatullahi, in the commentary of this verse, he very beautifully puts it, that how you should stay in the company of the pious people, khalituhum litakunu mislahum. Join yourself with them, associate yourself with pious people. You observe their life, you observe the conduct, you observe how they perform salah, you observe how they make wudu, you observe how they talk, you observe how they interact with people, and you see everything of this is being supported by the Quran, by the hadith, everything in the Sharia, and
you follow them, you become just like them. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi makes a very profound statement. He says that mujalasatul zahid yahrusul zuhd. Wa mujalasatul harit yahrusul hirs. If you stay in the company of a zahid, a person got nothing to do with his dunya. You stay in his company, that effect of that company will roll on for you. You also become a zahid. You also have nothing to do with the dunya. You understand the insignificance of this dunya. But you stay with the company of greedy people, people all the time talking about money, that accounts and thousands and millions. Day in, day out, they talk about that, buying this property, buying this house, buying this property, and showing off the wealth. That company will rub out to you. And that will create that hirs, that greed in yourself. We look at the life of our pious elders, great, great people. They also adopted spiritual guides. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, what a great person. He is the leader of the Hanafi fiqh, the founder of the Hanafi fiqh. He was a muhaddis of his own right, faqih of his own right. Such a great person. Who doesn't know Imam Abu Hanifa? Who doesn't know the knowledge of Imam Abu Hanifa? Who doesn't know the insight and the foresight of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh? Yet he felt there was a need for him to have a spiritual guide. Ja'far Sadiq, who is from the Ahl Bayt, from the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the spiritual guide of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. And Ja'far Sadiq himself, his spiritual guide was Qasim ibn Muhammad. And Qasim ibn Muhammad was a tabi who was in the company of Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. See where it is coming from. Great, great people, they adopt the spiritual guides. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, what a great person. When he passed away, because of that political tension in his time and what he went through during his time, the entire masses knew him. Non-Muslims also knew him. When he passed away, 25,000 non-Muslims saw the janazah of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and they accepted Islam. He was such a great muhaddis, such a great faqih. And he fought the political tyrant at that time. He also took bay'at, he took spiritual guidance from his Sheikh Abu Hashim. And he wasn't, Sheikh Abu Hashim, the spiritual guide of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, was not as learned as Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. But there are certain ahlullah, they have that love for Allah in the heart, they have the spirituality in the heart that throws off on other people. Hadha Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. Our ulama of this era would know him very well. He was a muhaddis. He was a great faqih. He took spiritual, his spiritual guide was Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki. Haji Imdadullah was not as learned as Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. So somebody asked Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, What was the need? What did you see in Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki that you had to take bay'at on his hands? Allah has blessed you with so much of knowledge. Why did you need to have such a spiritual guide? See, while I was studying, that I learned the name of some sweetmeats. I learned the name of some sweetmeats. What is truthfulness? What is taqwa? What is humbleness? These are all sweetmeats, or sweetmeat of good character and conduct. I merely heard the names of these things. But after I linked myself with Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki, I actually tasted those sweetmeats. Those qualities have come into me. Respected elders and friends, in this hadith of Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu taught us, bay'uni. Take bay'at. Look for a spiritual guide. Somebody that can help you, assist you in the path of ruhaniyat, on the path of spirituality. Sometimes people wonder, what's the benefit? What will you achieve through it? And I want to give an example. That just by linking yourself with pious people, and it can be a person of your choice, not somebody that imposes anyone upon you, somebody of your choice who you are comfortable with, as long as you've got a spiritual guide that can help you in the various challenges of life, and so that you can get closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And not like with the trend is nowadays that so-and-so person is a murid of so-and-so person, therefore I need to take bay'at to that person. The purpose, the objective of bay'at is that you need to get closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And you need to pick a choose a person of your choice with who you are comfortable, through whom you can get closer to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In India,
You get those trains, you get the first class trains, you get the third class trains. So once there was a debate between the two coaches, the first class and the third class. The first class told to a third class, you know, I'm more superior than you. Because my seats are softer, aircon in me, and when the passengers are in me, then people come and serve. My seats are very, very soft. I'm so superior than you. What do you have to offer? The third class told to the first class, what you're saying is 100% correct, true. Your seats are softer, my seats are hard. Your price is expensive, my price is cheap. You have aircon, I've got no fan. But despite your virtue, despite your superiority, there's one thing common between you and I. That my coach is linked up to your coach. Your destination in Delhi, when you go to reach Delhi, because I'm linked up to you, I'll also reach Delhi. We link ourselves to the Allah Wala. We link ourselves to a pious servant of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. What is their destination, that will also become our destination. The second hadith, narrated by Ubadah ibn Samit, is, on one occasion, same Sahabi, Ubadah ibn Samit, great illustrious Sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we know the background of the Sahabi and know the personality, we take interest in what is narrated by the Sahabi. So Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala narrates, during the month of Ramadan, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once came out and he told to a Sahaba, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told me when he Laylatul Qadr, I came out to inform you people. But as I came out, I saw two people disputing, two people fighting. And because of that fight, the barakah, the knowledge of the specification of Laylatul Qadr have been taken, lifted away from me. From this we also understand, fights and disputes take away barakah. And it's not difficult to understand it. You have a glass container or a wooden container. If it is normal, unbroken, it will collect the water in it. The moment there's a crack, so water will come in there, but the water will seep out of it, the barakah is going to go away. And that's what happens with disputes. Barakat and blessings go away from life. Disputes in the families. Disputes in the communities. Disputes in societies. Mature people will rise above the emotion and avoid disputes at best of their abilities. Not because it's only the right thing to do, it is because to save ourselves from the, to protect the barakah that Almighty Allah Tabaraka has kept in a united situation. And the third hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala, with which I will conclude. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala narrates, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه ومن كره لقاء الله كره الله لقاءه. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who loves Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, who loves to meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah also loves to meet him. And that person who dislikes meeting Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah dislikes meeting him. When we love someone, we want to meet the person. When we don't like that anyone, we don't like to meet the person. When we build the love for Allah in our heart, because the love of Allah, He is our creator. Everything of ours, every fiber of ours is linked up to Almighty Allah. For every strand of hair, every aspect of our life, which part of our life we can disconnect from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. From the beginning till the end, every moment of ours is controlled by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When we understand that, we realize that. And we know that the core of our life is Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We would want to know who created us. Who's controlling our life. When we pass away, we're going to meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And we look at the bounties of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala upon us. That look at the eyes Allah created. Look at the ears Allah created. Look at the tongue Allah created. Look at the spit Allah created. Look at the hand and feet Allah created. Look at the thousands, the millions of blood vessels Allah has created. So many ni'mat and bounties we experience of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And look at the air that we breathe. Look at the food Allah has given us. Look at the drinks Allah has given us. Look at the families Allah has given us. Look at the societies Allah has given us. So many ni'mat and bounties. When we sit, ponder, reflect, and we inculcate within ourselves a love for Allah, and the time comes that we become impatient to meet Allah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu mentioned, that person who loved to meet Allah, Allah also loved to meet him. And that is the quality, that is the characteristic, the quality you should inculcate within ourselves, the love for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that person who dislikes meeting Allah, that will only be when a person don't even think about Allah. He takes life for granted. Don't even ponder upon the namas and the bounties of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And he has no desire. He's everything for him is only this life. Nothing about the akhirat. Nothing about the Almighty Allah. Such a person, when the time comes for him to die, he just resents death. And he thinks he's losing out on the world, whereas the believer thinks otherwise. When the time comes for him to leave the world and Allah opens up the curtains for him, he says, the akhirat is better for me for the dunya. That is because of the love the individual has for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. May Allah grant every one of us his true love and muhabbat. Once again, after every namaz, often make this dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. Oh Allah, I ask of you your love. Second, وَحُبَّ مَن يُحِبُّكَ. Allah, I want the love of those people that love you. They will show, they will demonstrate how to love Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And third, Allah, guide me to do those amal, those actions through which I could attain your closeness and your muhabbat. Allah grant every one of his true love and his muhabbat. We need to work towards it, adopt the means, ask Allah to grant it to us, inshallah, with little bit of effort and making dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah will make us his beloved. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.